Blog Talk Radio.
Come on!
It's time to dominate your fantasy football league.
Head, head! All right, time!
FF Toolbox presents The Takeover with the fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
Fresh from the high-stakes draft tables of the Fantasy Football World Championship in Las Vegas, Nevada, into week one of the NFL season, through week one, past the waiver wire, getting ready for week two. We are back live. It is The Takeover. I am your man, Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, and of course, I bring with me each and every week high-stakes fantasy football Hall of Famer, Chris McCarroll. Chris, I'm just so pumped up to talk fantasy football right now. The NFL season is finally kicked off and underway. A lot of big stories to talk about. But what is going on, my man? How is everything going? How are you looking so far? How are you feeling as we are getting ready to head into week two? I tell you what, the NFL season sure does fly by, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does, Corey. And we're on to week two already. 1 week in the books. I'm just glad that we're in the rhythm here now, man. You know, week in and week out, for the next 16 weeks of the fantasy season, we'll be here with you, walking you through it. And hopefully me and you will be having some success as well as along with our listeners.
No doubt, definitely want to get into that and touch on some of the latest news items. Go through some of these contests this week, try to get through as many as possible. A lot of things to touch on this early in the season, as Chris, there's a couple situations and scenarios I want to ask you about. A couple of couple of pats on the back and congratulations, even though it still is early in the season. And, you know, normally I wouldn't have brought this up, but I felt pretty good about this after the draft. And I was telling a couple of buddies of mine, I think I got a team that can compete for an overall in the real-time fantasy championship, the high-stakes championship, not the players' championship, the 10K grand prize, 144-team contest. You know, our guy, Scout Fantasy General Manager, Scott Atkins, has won this overall before. Of course, our man CC's Desperado, Sean Childs, has won this before. But right now, Chris, I told you I said felt pretty good about the team. That team is sitting in first place in the overall standings with a 197-point week to get things kicked off. So a little humble brag right there. As we get ready to get things
good
rocking
start
and rolling. 200-point, another 195 this week in the NFFC, the 14-team league. And I tell you what, Chris, you know, any way I was able to get that start of Julio Jones and DeAndre Hopkins, I doubled down with those two wides early in the draft. And you know what? The things just happened to come together. That one team that sits in first overall, I have a player that I have two players on that team that I don't own anywhere else. And that is Chris Ivory and Carlos Hyde. Two players I think that we're going to get a chance to talk about a little bit later on in the program. Also, Jordan Matthews on that team. 13 targets last week for Jordan Matthews. We see what he can do with the football in his hands. He's going to be a volume player in that Philadelphia Eagle offense. We'll get into that a little bit later on also as they take on the Dallas Cowboys this week. But, Chris, coming out the gate, I want to start with, I think what we've started with each and every week so far, at least for the past 3 months, the Dallas Cowboys running back situation is it looks like we may have a winner in Joseph Randle.
Yeah. Corey, so far, you know, that situation obviously was a flip of the coin leading into last Sunday, where reports even a half an hour before the game had McFadden as the starter, and the report said that McFadden would start the game. Lo and behold, the game starts and Joe Randle's in the backfield. He out-touches McFadden 16 carries to 6. So after watching week one, I think we would all have to agree that Joe Randle right now is the starting running back of the Dallas Cowboys and McFadden is the backup. You know, that's really all we could go off of. I don't know if, you know, he's going to pull a Belichick, if Jason Garrett wants to pull a Belichick, and this week all of a sudden it's the other way around. Who knows? But both running backs, I think, I don't know if you'll agree with this, but to me, both running backs looked really good And if you want to include Lance Dunbar, you know, as a third running back also, he looked great too. So I liked McFadden the way he looked really fast and strong, you know, in the six carries that he got. Joe Randall looked really good too. So I would expect the carries to be divvied up to pretty much the way it was this past week again.
I agree with you 100% on that. I think right now we have to look at Randall as the lead dog. McFadden is a guy who I think you can flex him, maybe an RB2 throughout the course of the bye week, maybe very touchdown depending on his role. And, of course, you know, due to rigors of the NFL season. But the player, the fantasy player that impressed is the guy you hit on, and that's Lance Dunbar. And Lance Dunbar is a guy on a lot of teams. I was taking him rounds 18 and 19 as a flyer because I knew he would have at least some pass-catching upside in the Dallas Cowboy passing game. And I remember saying to myself, knock on wood, if something was to happen to Dez Bryant or Jason Witten, Lance Dunbar can be a player that you can really see role expand, and he can almost maybe even flirt with a Gio Bernard, Darren Sproles type role as in Dallas Cowboy offense, a Shane Vereen type. And lo and behold, Chris, you know, of course, terrible news for Dez Bryant. We'll touch on that a little bit later on also, but Lance Dunbar is a player that needs to be owned in all 12-team PPR leagues.
Yeah, Corey, I agree with you 100%. You know, same thing as you. He wound up on a bunch of my teams, you know, in those 17 to 20 rounds when you're just trying to find something that, hey, you know what, if one of these Randall and McFaddens go down in front of him, Dunbar will see a lot of the field, or, you know, we all didn't know how the Cowboy running back situation was going to play out. You bring up a good point with, you know, the wide receivers. If they go down, I think a guy I'm sure we'll touch on later, Cole Beasley, is a big beneficiary of a Dez Bryant going down. But in terms of the Dallas running backs, I really loved what I saw out of Dunbar, and you mentioned a couple names. I think Lance Dunbar is going to be a perfect RB2 on a lot of teams going forward now, at least for the next 8 weeks while Dez Bryant is out and maybe even when he comes back. An RB2 that you could throw in on a team that you have a great quarterback and some heavy wide receivers. You know, a lot of drafts that, you know, look like our teams, Corey, this year. And you're looking for, an RB. You're looking for an RB2, your heavy wide receiver. You know, Dunbar could come in and catch six balls for 60 a game. And, you know, hey, that's a good amount of points for a running back, you know, of his stature.
No doubt, Chris. And one of the things I think that we also want to touch on is when you look at a player like Dunbar and your roster, the way it's built, the Dallas Cowboy game script without Dez Bryant is going to call for more passes, obviously, because you're controlling that clock with that running game, but you also want to hit the big play from time to time to Dez Bryant off the play action. That's the way the lineup is, that's the way the offense is set up. Without that big play-action threat out there right now, you're going to see a little bit more dinking and dunking down the field. They'll probably play closer games. We obviously saw what Tony Romo did in that situation on Monday night in the close game, able to move the ball efficiently down the football field, Chris. So I do like him. Lock him in as an RB2. Listen, do you play him or Danny Woodhead? A situation like that, best game script dependent.
Yeah, I think they're the same players now. That's what, you know, that's exactly what I was trying to say. Danny Woodhead, you mentioned the guys, Sproles, Gio Bernard. I think he's one of these top five PPR running backs that you can use every week now, like a Danny Woodhead and Gio Bernard. These guys that, hey, you drafted them a little later on, they're going to catch 5-6 balls a game, and they can help you out, get 12-15 points, and maybe get in the end zone.
No doubt. And those 12 and 15 become 22s when they get in the end zone.
Sure do.
No doubt. Chris, another player we want to talk about, and I kind of hate to do this once again. One of the main storylines to come out of week one, and we're getting ready to get into week two, and it's a storyline that's catching fire right now. Peyton Manning, bro. This right here is not what we expected. And you know what, Chris? I purposely stayed away from Demaryius Thomas all over the place this year. I was taking Emmanuel Sanders because I liked him a little bit a few rounds later. Not a top guy, but if I got into that range where I really don't draft T.Y. Hilton, who was off to an excellent start, but now is dealing with an injury. We'll talk about Dante Moncrief moving forward. So I was kind of leaning off Demaryius because I just wasn't feeling some of the talk coming out of Denver, Ryan Clady, Peyton Manning being older, John Fox, Gary Kubiak offense. And I tell you what, we're starting to hear, do I start Marcus Mariota or Peyton Manning? I tell you what, Chris, this is what we're talking. What do you see for Manning and Thomas going forward this far the rest of the season?
Yeah, it's funny, Corey, if you remember last week's show, you asked me why Demaryius Thomas was the one wide receiver in the first round I was avoiding this year, and here we are. And I didn't give you an answer last week because we got sidetracked, but, you know, I think you see now why after week one. I didn't want any part of Demaryius Thomas because of this reason. I was worried about it. I was worried about the defenses, focusing more on him now without a Julius Thomas around, the less weapons, more leaning on the run game, and then, of course, Manning's arm. I was just worried about it. And, I tried to unfortunately, Corey, I just want to tell you a little, on a personal level, I have 18 or 19 teams this year that I'm running, that I'm managing, right? I said going in, I would not have Peyton Manning as my quarterback on any of them. Well, on 18 of them, I don't. But on that last one, I do, unfortunately, and it's my biggest regret so far through week one. I got to pick 86 overall, and Peyton Manning was still on the board. And it was a 6-point passing touchdown, and a lot of other quarterbacks went before. And I said, all right, I'm going to give him one more year. Maybe I could get something out of him. And I went against what I believed in, and I took him anyway, and I regret it through 1 week. Luckily, I have Phillip Rivers as my backup, Corey, so I'm going to ride Phillip Rivers after what I saw out of Manning last week. But I honestly think that Manning is pretty close to done, man. I saw a couple bootlegs that he did, and he had Emmanuel Sanders wide open in the middle of the field on like a 25-yard pass, and he short-hopped him. And that was the throw right there that I said, uh-oh, I think he's finished. Because in years past, he completes that easily. This is his last season, Corey. On the flip side of all this, I was thinking about this the other day, Corey. Remember last year, we're sitting here at the same time. I know it was a little early, but through 5-6 weeks of the season, what did we all say? Tom Brady was done. Tom Brady's a bum. Everybody was calling in, do I drop Tom Brady? I saw people in high-stakes leagues putting Brady on waivers, dropping him. And then the guy went on to be almost the MVP of the league from week 6 through 17. So,
no doubt.
So let's not overreact over week 1 yet. But I will say I didn't like what I saw out of Peyton Manning at all. But maybe it's Tom Brady 1 year later.
And you know what? I agree with you 100% on that, Chris. It's hard to write. You never underestimate the heart of a champion. That's what Peyton Manning is. It's hard to kind of write those guys off. But last season with Tom Brady, it was performance-based. There was a lack of Rob Gronkowski, a new wide receiving core with Brandon LaFell in the mix. With Peyton Manning, it seems to be more physical. It doesn't seem like he's the same player. It seems like he's a beat-up player. And that's kind of where I think he still has the mental capability. I just don't think physically he can do it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, come on. He's 30, you know what I mean? And Peyton Manning, you know this from, us knowing each other now. Of course, Peyton Manning's my favorite quarterback all time, and I think he's the greatest quarterback of all time that I've seen. But
he's an excellent football player.
Without a doubt. No, some people, obviously won't agree with that, but to me, Peyton Manning has been my favorite quarterback ever. But
he's the best player he's the face of our football generation.
Without a doubt. But let's be realistic. We're fantasy players, and we gotta be real with each other here. He's 39 years old, and he's coming off surgeries. Now, this guy isn't going to play till he's 45, and he's not in the shape that a Tom Brady at 38 is. It's just different. The surgeries have taken a toll. He's come out and told people in reports he can't feel his fingers. He plays in cold weather in Denver, where in another month it's going to start getting really bad. I mean, I could see this ending up really, really ugly, Corey. And hopefully he pulls what Brady pulled last year. But you're right, the situation is different. But I don't like what I see, and I believe this will be his last year. I believe he'll be calling it quits at some point. in the middle of the season saying that, you know, this will be my final year. And then they'll have their swan song, their, you know, his little tour around the NFL for the rest of the season. But this is it, man. He's approaching 40. That's it. He's had a great run, but it's over now.
Definitely agree with you 100% on that. I think the offense could use the boost of energy, a little spark. And I think that spark may be Ronnie Hillman. Here we go once again, talking about a PPR-style running back, a pass-catching, quick, fast running back. Hillman, who has never really lived up to what he was supposed to as far as NFL is concerned. But you know what? C.J. Anderson, obviously, last year came stranglehold of the job. Banged up this year to start early. Not a great performance this past weekend, but I tell you what, every time I see Ronnie Hillman running the football, he looks better and better.
Oh, man. Corey, little prediction from me, Corey. Ronnie Hillman's going to be the starting running back of this team come October 1st. That's just
Dollar make you holler. If he's on the waiver wire right now, go get him, stash him, Ronnie Hillman. You heard it here first.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talk to everybody, you know, whatever players there are out there. I know a lot of high-stakes players listen to us, and you know, that's what we're talking to pretty much, Corey, on our podcast. But, you know, Ronnie Hillman wouldn't be available in any high-stakes leagues. But for you guys listening out there in your home league, for all the people that are listening in your home leagues and whatever leagues you guys do, if Ronnie Hillman is out there, go run and get him right now. Stop listening to us. Go run and get Ronnie Hillman. He just looks better
definitely.
Than C.J. Anderson. And guys, and toe injuries don't heal up. They don't go away in midseason. This guy's dealing with a toe injury already in week one. It's trouble. It's trouble, Corey.
No doubt it's going to linger all season, and I agree with you 100%, Chris. I went to check Ronnie Hillman
you know
in some of my leagues, and
yeah.
He was available nowhere.
Nowhere. No shot. I was targeting him in my mid-rounds of a lot of my drafts. I got him on a good amount of my teams. I'm hoping that he takes over the job. But you know what's funny, Corey, is last year at this time, you know, we had a first-round Denver running back who was a bust, Monty Ball. We might be sitting here in a month and a half, saying, is C.J. Anderson that first-round bust? Or, you know, that late first-round, early second-round bust? It's a possibility.
Back-to-back seasons where a first-round running back could spit the bit for the Denver Broncos. On the Kansas City Chiefs side of the football, I want to touch on them right quick. That is the opponent for week two of the NFL season. Definitely have to like what you see last season. Very impressed with the workload, the talent, Alex Smith, and the way they handled the Travis Kelce situation last week. Kelce, as many people predicted going into this season, looking like a top tight end. I think he's an excellent play if you have him. I don't take a tight end that early. If you have him, of course, you roll him out there consistently. And also in DFS contests, he's a guy, a tight end, who you can kind of depend on to be a guy who's going to be targeted each and every week.
Yeah, Corey, monster week one from Travis Kelce, and that's what everybody that drafted him in that, you know, that fifth round range was hoping for. You know, he could wind up being the second tight end this year after Gronkowski in terms of production. Let's see if he's consistent. Let's see if he keeps it up now. You know, the Chiefs might have to lean on him again tonight with, you know, maybe a Macklin getting eaten up by an Aqib Talib on the outside. Maybe a Kelce, they lean on him and Jamal Charles today. But that Bronco defense is really good this year. Really strong unit. I think they'll be a top 5D. So they have their work cut out for them in the game tonight. But, yeah, I mean, so far, hey, Kelce through week one has given you everything you hoped for.
Are you worried about Jamal Charles' yards per carry really taking a dip the past couple of months, well, towards the end of last season, and, you know, after only one game this season? It seems like, you know, his pass-catching ability and his touchdown scoring is what's saving him. Talking about Jamal Charles.
Charles, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Yeah. You know what? You know what's funny, Corey? Andy Reid's one of these coaches. You don't know what you get out of him. I mean, you know, even last year there were a lot of games, right? There were a lot of games that Jamal Charles was underutilized. And he'd come out of the game with 8 to 10 carries. Everybody would be like, yo, what do you know, how do you not feed this guy the ball more? And, hey, he's a stud back there. They got to get him the ball more. Same thing with Kelce. Like, you know, last year he would have a big game, and then the next week he'd be targeted two times. Everybody'd be like, oh, why isn't Kelce in the game? He's a monster. So who knows what Andy Reid and that offense is doing. But Jamal Charles, he didn't have a lot of rushing yards last week. He didn't get a lot of carries again, if I'm correct, right? I mean, I don't know the exact number of carries, but I remember saying
to
myself.
I'm not saying he had 14 carries.
Yeah, like you know, that's below average for a stud.
Not enough to get a running back like Jamal Charles going.
Oh, I mean, Jamal Charles, I mean, look at Adrian Peterson Monday night. What was that? I mean, these guys, they should be getting the ball 20 to 23 times, you know, a game carry-wise. To, you know, these guys are top five overall picks. But Jamal Charles will give you the catches, and that's what saved him in week one was, you know, all the catches he gets out of the backfield. That's what's great. Even if Charles is running for 50 to 60 yards on the ground, he's still giving you 5-6 catches for 50, 60 yards as well. And when he gets in the end zone, boom, you're in the 20s already.
No doubt. And the reason why this happens, and he has multiple touchdown game type talent, so you always roll with Jamal Charles and how much he dominates the workload in the passing game, mainly because Alex Smith is a bus driver who's scared to throw the football vertically, unless it's a Travis Kelce. So that's how I think that situation will continue to play out with the KC Chiefs offense. 1 o'clock start on Sunday, 39.5 is the projected total for the contest. The Carolina Panthers are a 3-point favorite over the Houston Texans. I think of this line, this low – Cam Newton. Let's get Cam Newton out the way right now.
Yeah.
Late in draft season, the 18th, 19th round of drafts, going left undrafted because he doesn't have the weapons. My thing with Cam Newton is he is the weapon. Don't worry about the other weapons. Cam is the weapon.
Yeah.
You see the running game now. Jonathan Stewart already nicked up. Kevin Artis Payne may be out there in some of the leagues at your home league, your 12-team Yahoos. Go ahead, speculative add on him because we know what Jay Stu is. But what do you see? Anything from this Panther team besides the disturbing two targets for Greg Olsen. But as far as I'm concerned, Chris, I'm still on board with Cam Newton.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. 18th, 19th round you saw him going? Corey,
18th, 19th, yes.
Wow. I mean, I understand what people think of it, you know, not wanting, you know, him as their quarterback this year. I get it, but that's crazy. 18th, 19th round. I think you hit it. I was going to say the same thing. I mean, I don't know. Everybody obviously came into the year going, wow, Greg Olsen is going to be a monster this year once the Kelvin Benjamin injury went down. And it's 1 week. You know, like I said in the last couple shows, Corey, the first couple weeks of the season, you're going to see some really crazy stat lines, whether they're crazy over the top for a below-average player or a great player, you know, with crappy stats, you know, through the a week or two. Maybe it's just that 1 week. Greg Olsen's going to be solid. He's going to be a solid top five tight end all season long. He just didn't get targeted for whatever reason, and I wouldn't have any concerns there. Cam Newton, though, Corey, I mean, it's tough to trust him. He did carry the ball. He had 12 rushing attempts, Corey.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
12 rushing attempts. I mean, and this is what you were hoping for. If you took that chance on Cam Newton, you know, he's not going to be a 300, you know, yard, you know, a weak passer with two or three passing touchdowns. I doubt he's going to be that. Maybe he has one or two of those games. But you got to hope that he's running the ball and giving you those 50, 60 rushing yards and maybe a rushing touchdown each week to make up for the lack of passing yards and points. So,
and when you see this low game total, Chris, and they're the favorite, It that plays directly into Cam Newton's strength. That defense sit on him, control the clock, run the football with Cam, run the football with Jonathan Stewart, and as far as the red zone goes, maybe you get some looks to Olsen, or maybe Cam takes over the top for himself and busts his jersey open, and there goes Superman.
Yeah, without a doubt. He could do that this week. The Texans have, the Texans got eaten up alive last week through the air. So Cam could do it through the air this week. He's going to have J.J. Watt, you know, running all around. So I'd be worried if I was Cam this week because that guy's a beast. But
that guy is trouble.
You're gonna
two
have
of the
to,
best
you
athletes
know,
right there. Two of the best athletes alive. Two of the top three.
I
would put the top three athletes as LeBron James, Cam Newton, and J.J. Watt all around just pure athletes.
You might be right, Corey. I mean, I think J.J. Watt's going to go down as one of the greatest ever when it's all said and done. Cam's got it in for him. Cam's got it in for him this week. But you know what? Last thing I'll say about Cam Newton, you got to have to pick and choose your weeks when you use him, I think. I don't think you could religiously send him out every week and be happy. You're going to have to deal with some stinkers along the way. You're just going to have to pick and choose.
The Houston Texans, I tell you what, I don't understand why Ryan Mallett was not. This is why Ryan Mallett was so upset when he wasn't the starting quarterback. Because you're looking at Brian Hoyer like, really, you're going to give this guy a job? This guy's a bum. And then Mallett comes in there, and DeAndre Hopkins Oilers rejoice. I'm telling you, I think we could be looking at a top five fantasy wide receiver season from DeAndre Hopkins right now. You talk about a player that's locked in his third year in the NFL. I always, always, always like players from Clemson because they translate well to the NFL. D-Hop is the guy that I'm telling you, I am in on this year.
Corey, he's my most owned player, and you know that. He was my target, late second round. My goal this year in every league, the leagues that I knew I wasn't getting Andrew Luck in, I wanted to start Julio Jones and DeAndre Hopkins first and second round. I got that in two leagues, and those two leagues, through week one, the Julio and DeAndre pairing, those are my two highest scores, obviously. So DeAndre Hopkins, I think, is going to be a stud, and I think just like you said, the Ryan Mallett coming in with his big arm. Now DeAndre Hopkins doesn't have to, catch the 8 to 10 yarders. Now DeAndre Hopkins with his speed can show off and get down the field, and Mallett will hit you. Mallett will hit you with a 50-yard bomb. Not like, with Hoyer in there. So, you're giving up, you're giving up something, though, when you bring in Mallett. He's not as smart as Hoyer. He's not going to make the most accurate passes. But he does have the big arm. So hopefully this doesn't, I think the same as you, Corey. I think that, it helps DeAndre Hopkins with Mallett in there. And when I was leading into the season, I was hoping Mallett was going to win the job for DeAndre Hopkins. So now here we are. Mallett's the quarterback. Hopefully Hopkins keeps showing what he can do, and Hopkins hopefully stays as a top 8 wide receiver this year.
Nate Washington with a ton of targets last week also. Everybody all over Steve's show. I was once the president of the Nate Washington fan club a couple of years ago. I have since let down that position, Chris, but I don't really the kid's strong is in the mix a little bit. You have no tight end. You have Washington, you have Tissue Shorts, of course, if it's not a hamstring, it's a concussion, unfortunately. You think Nate Washington is an ad in the PPR?
You know what, Corey? Well, we got to see it last night with all the waiver claims. And, for all our listeners, we'll be on Wednesdays, so you leading into the waiver wire period. We just had a scheduling conflict. But with Nate Washington, he was big. He was like, besides obviously James Jones for week one, Nate Washington was the second highest waiver pickup guy across all the high stakes leagues. Nate Washington, he is what he is. He's a solid veteran. And, is he going to have a game like that a lot? No. I mean, over 100 receiving. They were, the game flow dictated that. The Texans were down big early. They were throwing the whole second half. There was a lot more catches and yards to be had. I don't think you're going to be able to rely on Nate Washington. He'll probably be like a four catch guy week in and week out. But, especially now the reports are Foster's going to be ready to go next week. Once Foster's back and hopefully he's healthy, we're talking about an offense that's 98% Foster and DeAndre Hopkins. And whoever gets the
own.
Whoever gets the
phone. No reason to own anybody else in Houston except Arian Foster and DeAndre Hopkins, Chris.
You got it.
All right, moving right along, getting ready for some more of this week's action. The New Orleans Saints and Tampa Bay Buccaneers, arch rival, get together down there in the Mercedes-Benz Dome in New Orleans. I tell you what, Chris, this game right here, quite interesting to me, this contest, because if you look at game strip and game flow, the point total is 47. I do see some fantasy assets in this competition, obviously. Drew Brees and Brandon Cooks come to mind immediately as Cooks plays better at home, notoriously. Look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers side of the football. Jameis Winston, rough start last week, but I did notice a connection with Austin Seferian Jenkins, and I think we see some more of that this weekend in a game that where more than likely Winston and crew is going to be struggling to keep up with Breeze in that offense.
Austin Seferian Jenkins, that's my boy, Corey. That's my boy.
Yep.
He's probably, out of 19 teams, he's on 14 of them, Corey. So
good job,
yeah, well, I made him my backup tight end on as many teams as I could, and had to play him, actually, in a lot of those leagues last week. So I benefited with the 31 points. Yeah, you could see it again now. Mike Evans says he's 100% healthy, the hamstring. I think he'll be back this week. You know, he does have a good connection with Winston, Seferian Jenkins does. But I think Mike Evans coming back into the lineup, I don't know, Corey, let me ask you. You think it helps Seferian Jenkins? Or obviously, you know, I would think the targets come a little away from Seferian Jenkins and, you know, with Evans back in the lineup. I'm interested to see when Evans is in the lineup how this offense flows, and if Jenkins is the odd man out now that Evans is back, or Winston says, hey, this is my guy. I'm going to rely on and lean on my tight end a little more.
I think that he will rely, lean on the tight end a little bit more, Chris. But what I'm also thinking is that I think Mike Evans is going to be the go-to guy in the offense. But I'm concerned about Vincent Jackson because I'm like, wait, because I got him on some teams. That's why, to be honest with you. But I'm like, yeah, I need James, I need you, number one, to stop turning the football over. Because if that's the case, you're not going to play. Then it's going to be somebody up off the bench taking your spot. And then that person is going to ruin Mike Evans, Seferian Jenkins, and Vincent Jackson. At least Winston can get out there and wing it with some confidence.
Right.
But when he's turning the football over, that ruins game script, especially for Doug Martin.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. And that was crazy, by the way. You know, Winston, imagine how he felt. His first NFL pass was a pick six. I mean, that was pretty. And he got showed up big time at home by the number two overall pick, Mariota, who outclassed him and outshined him big time. But I think this week, you're right. It's, you know, you got to figure the Saints are going to get up on them and be up on them pretty big. For all players, all listeners that, you know, play daily, we all do. You know, I was putting all my teams together. And, you know, Drew Brees, Brandon Cooks, and Mark Ingram, and even Brandon Coleman as a nice low-priced, you know, wide receiver, get them all in your lineups. I'd be confident putting them all in, not in the same lineup, but, you know, spread them out. But those are four good options. This week, they should be peppering that terrible Tampa Bay Bucs defense. But at the same time, you know, we're talking a cheap Austin Seferian Jenkins. They're going to be playing from behind. Winston's going to have to throw a lot. You know, they don't have many options other than, you know, Evans, Jackson, and Seferian Jenkins. So every time he's throwing the ball, one of these three guys is going to be catching it.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree with you on that. Doug Martin has looked good in the preseason. Doug Martin ran well last week. But if that team is playing from behind, your Doug Martin shares almost have a little bit of tint to them because he's not going to be able to get really worked into the passing game as much as we want him to. We won't see him running the football that much either. We need Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Winston to stop turning the football over and start putting some wins together and being more competitive so their fantasy owners can do a better job.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Corey. Yeah, I just wanted to throw in quick before we move to another game. Interesting little thing. Charles Sims out-snapped Doug Martin last week, if you could believe that. So that's a little crazy. And the reason why I bring that up is because of what you just said. If the game script goes the same way as it did last week and the Bucs are down big and getting blown out, well, you know what? The Bucs coaching staff, it looks like they favor Sims on the field more than Martin in passing game and in the passing game and playing from behind. So
Sims has the ability to catch the football too.
Without a doubt. So, you know, there you have it. If you got to look into game script a little bit, you got to figure the Bucs are going to be down, which means more Sims and less Martin.
No doubt. New Orleans Saints look like they'll be getting T.J. Spiller back this week, and that is a good thing because that team features the running back in their passing game. So make sure you keep an eye out for that. Also, it could be an interesting tournament play. if you want to get some daily or some DFF action in this week. San Fran and Pittsburgh. In Pittsburgh, 45.5 is the total. Pittsburgh, 6-point favorite in this one. No real running game to speak of. I'm not really throwing D'Angelo Williams out there anywhere, even though he was off to a nice start. This is a Big Ben, Antonio Brown, you know, a little bit of sprinkle of Marcus Wheaton, the player who I'm not really that high on, you know, as far as the offense goes. You know what you're going to get from Pittsburgh, much like some of the other studly fantasy teams. I have Big Ben penciled in some of my early DFS lineups right now as my quarterback on Fantasy Aces. They run two QBs. I have him as one of my quarterbacks over there because, you know, I do like that point total and the fact that this team is not going to run the football. They're going to get those points through the air. Now, on the San Francisco side of the ball, I tell you what, Carlos Hyde was impressive. I was very impressed with a player that I will sit up here and tell you I wanted no parts of Carlos Hyde. Now I do have him on one team because, you know, as an RB2, I like him. Well, last week was RB1 type numbers, and the player, the talent is there. The situation is pitiful, but at least for 1 week, it looked pretty good for Carlos Hyde, and he gets a nice plus matchup again this week.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. Corey, not only you, but, same thing with me and most of the fantasy players. You couldn't find anybody, you know, leading into draft season that really liked Carlos Hyde or wanted a piece of him. You know, he was that running back that was falling in the mid-rounds to that area where it was like, all right, what running backs are left? I need a running back. Give me either Carlos Hyde or Melvin Gordon or Joe Randall. You know, that's the way drafts shaped up this past, this year. So nobody really wanted Hyde, all for the same reasons we've talked about. Offensive line, bad team, yada, 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 Corey. We won't go into it, but through that week one, he was probably the most impressive player, you know, out of everybody that, you know, it was like, wow, are we all wrong about Carlos Hyde? You know, I don't think he keeps it up, Corey. That's all I'll say. I think it was a perfect situation, home opener in front of the home crowd. Crazy things happen week one. He looked great. Don't get me wrong. The talent is there. He's a talented running back. We all just wanted him on a better team, running behind a better line. I think there's going to be a lot more games, though, going forward once the season gets into a rhythm where his team is losing a lot and you don't see a lot of Carlos Hyde. Now, another little interesting thing, though, Reggie Bush got hurt there. So now you take away Reggie Bush from that offense, I mean, he might miss a couple weeks only, but maybe Carlos Hyde is on the field now after that performance for more snaps. Maybe he's a three-down back. Who knows? But like you said, he's got a great matchup again in Pittsburgh. Got to roll him out there again while he's hot.
No doubt. And I think I'm rolling in DFS contest. I'm rolling Carlos Hyde. I will have a couple Colin Kaepernick shares this week also because I think this is a volume game up there in Three River Stadium in Pittsburgh. Do not like the West Coast team coming east for the 1 o'clock start. That's always a bad thing, but contrarian style. Yeah, in fact, that's always rough.
What about West Coast team coming all the way east for a 1 o'clock game after playing a late Monday night game? I mean, this
right
is a nightmare for San Fran. On the gambling tip, Corey, pound Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's going to win this game by double digits. I'd be shocked if they didn't, even though they don't have all their weapons and Le'Veon Bell. Pittsburgh's going to roll this team after a nice 10-day layoff after the Thursday night opener that they played.
That's true. You're absolutely correct about that. I didn't even think about that one. Got about 20 minutes left to go in the program. The Detroit Lions and the Minnesota Vikings, old rivals, 43 is the projected total. Of course, that nod goes to a Minnesota Vikings team that, Chris, was unimpressive. We spoke about that offense for July and August, how much we like Bridgewater, Charles Johnson, Adrian Peterson returning, Mike Wallace, Mike Wallace down the middle of the field. Mike Wallace, 12.6 receptions, about 60-something yards. Nice fantasy effort, but you expect from Wallace, you want to throw a touchdown on there and you want to see one of those deep, big, bust-open plays. But Bridgewater didn't have it on Monday night. And neither did Charles Johnson. He was almost out of the mix, invisible. Adrian Peterson struggled. Did we overestimate this offense or are we overreacting to week one?
People better hope it's just a week one thing because they were the worst team I watched out of all 30, out of the whole NFL. Corey, it was painful to watch the Vikings on Monday night, and I watch any NFL game, and I almost fell asleep at halftime of that late Monday night game, Corey, because that's how bad they were. North Turner better get his act together, you know, with that offense over there. Adrian Peterson, I don't know what he was doing.
One of the better things this week, they are at home. They do get a Lions defense, who I thought was going to be, even when they lost Sue, I thought they would still be solid. I mean, they got dragged to the post by Phil Rivers and company out there in San Diego last week. Now, that same, you know, now the Lions, Minnesota could get healthy against that Lions defense that was pitiful last week. But Teddy Bridgewater ain't Phil Rivers, and I like Bridgewater a lot, and I don't know if this is going to happen. Now, when you look at the Detroit Lions, you got two questions. Obviously, overreaction to the two targets for Calvin Johnson, right?
Yeah. I don't know what that's another. Like I said, Corey, week one, a lot of crazy things happen, and we didn't touch on it yet. But I was just going to say, you know, week one, what a miserable week one for big time wide receivers, not named Julio Jones or Antonio Brown. I mean, look at all the other first-round wide receivers. They all bombed, every one of them. Calvin Johnson, Odell Beckham, Dez Bryant with the injury, A.J. Green, nothing. I mean, there was a lot of big-name wide receivers that did nothing in week one, and Calvin Johnson was probably the biggest mystery of them all. Two catches, I mean, what was that? That was
terrible. In a game script that led to them throwing the football, and I'm sitting up there like, I don't see the numbers moving because, you know, I'm dozing off and off. That 4 o'clock game is tough for me sometimes. But, I do. You want the overreaction. I heard one in the beat writer say kind of knocking off some of the rust from the offseason, didn't really get to play in the preseason. But I want to talk about these running backs. Is Ahmed Abdullah a starter in the 12-team PPR?
Yes, he is. They just got to keep him on the field. The kid is a stud. And enough. I mean, get rid of Joik Bell. Enough with the Joik Bell. He's got nothing. Just hand the reins over to this kid, Abdullah. He burst out that run for the touchdown early. It was unbelievable. He showed it all, the speed, the power, the quickness. Abdullah's a starter without a doubt.
Is C.O. Reddick a player you can roster in a 12-team league?
Roster? Sure. You know, as an RB5 or 6. You can't rely on him, though, Corey. I mean, they just have it musical chairs in the backfield there. He got on the field a little more than I think he will going forward because they were down, and the Chargers, once they were ahead, the Lions were playing from behind and using him. But, it's tough. When you're rotating three running backs, you really don't want any part of that third guy, you know.
That third guy is just there.
Yeah, she's just there. You know, it's tough. You might get a 2-catch, 17-yard performance. What are you going to do with that? So you could roster him. If Abdullah ever went down, Theo Reddick is a player. But, he'd be back in the mix as a, you know, someone you could put in as a flex player. But other than that, no.
The New England Patriots are 1-point road favorite at the Buffalo Bills. To me, that's pick 'em. Rex Ryan, you know what he does with Tom Brady. Looking at this contest, everybody is going to think this is defense of the Buffalo Bills versus the offense of the New England Patriots. I think this game right here is offense versus offense. And I think this 45 total, I think you have a chance to get up over that because Tyrod Taylor, T-Mobile, as he's called in Buffalo, and that crew that they're putting together out there right now, even with guys like Carlos Williams in the mix also. I think Carlos Williams, if you're a LeSean McCoy owner, you need to make sure that you figure out a way to get him. That's a good insurance policy. That kid could be a possible flex play option going through the bye week as we move along. I definitely want to keep an eye on Ish Williams. You don't like the zero targets for Sammy Watkins? I think Watkins shows up again. I think Watkins shows up this week big time. The offense does not support a lot in the passing game, though. But if there's any one week where it would have to, Chris, I think this would be the week against the New England Patriots team who still want to show that they have the reins on that division, and you know what you get with Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, Corey. I mean, I think you hit it on the head with the Buffalo offense. That's why nobody really wanted any shares of this Buffalo offense because Rex Ryan is going to live with his defense. He's going to try and win the low-scoring games, running the ball. You know, mixing and matching, you know, mixing up with the wide receivers. No one, you know, Tyrod Taylor is not going to throw a ton. You know, the Sammy Watkins shutout last week, you know, that was surprising, you know, as a stud, as the stud number one on that team to get shut out. I expect him to bounce back, though. I would be putting him in my daily lineups this week. You know, coaches want to get their, you know, their big horse involved after getting embarrassed last week. So I think they make it a concerted effort to get Sammy Watkins in. The late news now is with McCoy. He had to leave practice today. That hamstring acted up on him, and it doesn't sound like he's going to go this Sunday. And this kid, Carlos Williams, from what I saw all preseason and in college and in week one, this is a very reliable backup, very powerful back. I think he can make some noise this Sunday. He might burst on the scene, and who knows? McCoy's always, you always got to wonder about McCoy. He's always that game time decision now with all his injuries. Carlos Williams is somebody you definitely want to get off waivers and put him on your roster.
I agree with you 100%. Carlos Williams is a must add right now, especially if you're a LeSean McCoy owner. Arizona and the Chicago Bears, Carson Palmer, John Brown connection. Got about 15 minutes left to go in the program. Here we go. You get him on the road, no problem. The Chicago Bears defense, we already know what the deal is. Palmer looked good last week. Brown looked good last week. I think it's an excellent DFS play. They are a two-point road favorite. The Bears are dog at home, 46. Another player that we did not talk about or touch on at all. But first, let me stick with Arizona first, because I think this is a DFS week for Palmer and John Brown going up against Chicago. But now, when you look at Andre Ellington, it didn't take no time. Chris, what are you doing in this running back situation? We know where Chris Johnson is. We saw what David Johnson can do, but David Johnson's a rookie, and while Ellington is out, CJ0K is going to be the guy that's going to be the starting running back.
Yeah, Corey, I didn't even offer at Chris Johnson on waivers last night. I want no part. I've seen him the last bunch of years. I have no love for Chris Johnson, Corey. So for those people that picked him up last night, good luck with him. If he works out for you, okay. But, you know, that David Johnson run, you know, I think Bruce Arians hates rookie running back. So this kid doesn't stand a shot of being the feature back over Chris Johnson. But he really should be. I mean, that touchdown run that he got, you know, he's an upright runner. And, you know, he looked really good. So I know he's going to look a lot better than Chris Johnson, you know. So they really should go with David Johnson. But
I can guarantee you that. Did we miss the boat, Chris, on Matt Forte? And basically, this is what John Fox does. He finds him a running back and he runs him between the tackles. And Matt Forte was excellent at doing that last week, even in a situation where they were playing from behind.
Yeah, you know what? I'll admit, Corey, I was completely off Matt Forte this year, and you know, hey, it might be somebody that I might be wrong about. He wasn't. You know, he was going way too early, that mid-second round area for me. There was too many things that I didn't like, you know, going into the season. But, hey, he had a great week one. Let's see if he keeps it up. He's gonna be one of those guys that you could probably rely on week in and week out, because even when the Bears are down, he's going to be out there and he's going to be catching a ton of passes again. So,
no doubt.
Hey,
I agree with you on that. Yeah. I agree with you on that. No worries on Martellus Bennett, no worries on Alshon Jeffrey, 11 targets last week. Definitely starting to continue, not starting to, but continuing, almost picking up right where he left off.
Yeah, that's going to be a good offense, because I said the Bears offense, everybody was worried about it. It's going to be a good offense. The defense is brutal, and if we're talking fantasy here, that's the combo you want right there, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, this isn't late-breaking news to anybody in the fantasy world. You want a team that has a terrible defense that's going to let up a ton of points, and the offense is going to always be playing catch-up or having to play shootouts. And you know what? Alshon Jeffries, you know, looked healthy and is a stud. Bennett's going to be a top-five tight end. Forte's looking great. through week one. The one disappointment in that offense was Eddie Royal, and I know he was dealing with some injuries, and I was watching that game closely. He did get nicked up early in the second quarter. He came out, and that was it for him, really. He came back in, but he was never the same. One catch, 8 yards. Hopefully he gets going. If he does, this offense could be really productive with those four main guys out there. We'll see.
No doubt. I do think it's a fine fantasy offense.
Yeah, it's Adam Gase is going to have a good offense, and that's, you know, hey, that's what we saw week one.
Yep, that's exactly, you're absolutely correct on that front, and he's going to be able to get those guys out. I like those, all those weapons, all those targets. Like we said, Tennessee, and Tennessee, let's touch on the Tennessee situation quickly as we get ready to wrap down the hour leading up to kickoff. How efficient is the word that comes to mind when you look at Mariota's performance last week? Excellent with protection of the football. They lead on the run game, like we kind of knew they would. But the run game is effective. Bishop Schenke looks like an effective running back when he's not running against eight-man fronts. Mariota also can get out and run the ball a little bit. Harry Douglas, a player we liked. I was taken late all over the place. Kendall Wright.
Mm-hmm.
Last year I was on him. This year I wasn't. But look at this. It looks like they have a nice combination. Yep, it looks like they have a nice combination right there. And you know what? Yeah, Mariota is a player that I am picking up on the waiver wire, and I will start over Peyton Manning right now because the offensive gear, it looks to be after 1 week like the offense is perfect for what he wants to do.
Yeah, I mean, would you ever think going into week two of this season and he'd be saying, I'm going to start Mariota over Peyton Manning? That's how quickly things change in fantasy, Corey. It's crazy. But
unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, let's be real here. This offense, it looks great. I was watching a lot of them last week. Delanie Walker now hurt his wrist. I don't know if that takes away from the offense, but let me see it again with a rookie quarterback with not so many great options out there. I mean, obviously, Kendall Wright and Delanie Walker are good options, but let's see them do it against another team that isn't the worst defense in the NFL by far, you know.
It's true too. You also have that out there. Also, this weekend they're in Cleveland on the road again. Defense is a little bit better, but definitely not much. Speaking of the Cleveland Browns, go ahead, Chris.
No, that's it, Corey. I was just gonna say on the road again in the dog pound. Joe Hayden, good secondary. Let's see if they lock down his receivers. He doesn't have a run game to rely on too much. Let's see. I think they take a major step back this week.
I think it will be tough. If we have to see him throw the football more, we can see him start to get rattled in that environment. Clearly, that wasn't the case at Raymond James Stadium last week. How do you feel about Isaiah Crowell this week, Chris, going up against that Tennessee defense at home?
Nice option this week, Corey, Crowell. Duke Johnson did get in the game a lot last week. I think they're going to start getting him more into the flow, coming off the late concussion in the preseason. I think he's finally over that now. So it's just a matter of time until Duke Johnson takes over, I feel. But, as for this week, great matchup for Crowell, running behind a great offensive line against, a below-average defense. I would definitely stick him in as a flex player or, a RB2.
Possible RB2 option. Cincinnati is home for San Diego. Once again, the East West Coast team coming across the country for a 1 o'clock start. Nice big point total in 47 in this one. The Bengals are the favorite. I'm all in on Tyler Eifert. I missed him everywhere, but I'm all in on him, especially as DFS purposes go. This is a Jeremy Hill touchdown week right here. I think Jeremy Hill is going to be the kind of back, a future fantasy running back that does not catch passes. Those are rare, but I think Jeremy Hill is that guy. Also have the Gio Bernard option. Is it too many weapons in this offense now that for A.J. Green to continue to be that stud wide receiver?
No, A.J., when you have a top, wide receiver one stud like A.J. Green, there's only, like we talked about, the big eight in the NFL right now. Those stud ones, they're going to get fed. And A.J. Green had a below average game last week because, Oakland obviously focused in on him, but they were up so much they didn't have to throw a lot, and Eifert, was the beneficiary of it. But A.J. Green, I could see him getting fed in front of the home crowd this week to make up for last week's game. I expect A.J. Green to have a big bounce-back performance this week and going forward. Don't worry about AJ Green. As long as he's healthy, he's going to be a monster.
How do you factor Danny Woodhead into your lineup decisions? Because when you have three or four of these pass-catching running backs and Woodhead is a player on your bench, it's like, okay, when do you know when to play Woodhead?
That's a tough question, Corey, because it all depends on what the roster is looking like. And I have Danny Woodhead on a couple of my teams. Basically, they're all, you know, wide receiver heavy. I have four legit stud wide receivers and a good quarterback. And maybe like, you know, one team is a Jonathan Stewart as my RB1. And, you know, I'm relying on Danny Woodhead and Gio Bernard to mix and match. And Danny Woodhead is my RB2. You know, he's out there every week. So, you know, and in week one, he gave 23 points. I mean, that's better than most big-time RB1s gave last week. So, you know, a guy like Danny Woodhead on certain teams, you got to put him in depending on what you have. He's a great flex option, too. I mean, you got to treat Danny Woodhead. If you have two solid running backs and only two or three good receivers, you got to treat Danny Woodhead as a solid flex play, as like an extra, you know, number four wide receiver who's going to catch six balls for 50 yards every week. And on top of that, look what they did. He was the main running back in the red zone last week. And we've talked about this the past couple of weeks that, wow, when you watch the Chargers and they get inside the five, how many times
Danny Woodhead
is in the backfield? So, and you saw it again last week. Danny Woodhead, I was in love with going into this year. I was trying to get him on as many teams as I could for these reasons. And stick him in your lineup week in and week out.
It's tough, you know, not to get ready. We only got about a couple minutes left in the program, so not going to get through all the game action today. I will tell you, I am as far as DFS concerns this week. Quick note, Desmond Trufant in that Falcons-Giants game is leading me to fade Odell Beckham Jr. You feel the same way about that?
Wow. You think so, huh? You think he shuts him down?
I think, you can't, it's hard to shut down a Beckham Jr.
But like a 7-for-70, you know, nothing spectacular.
Nothing spectacular. I think Trufant is stepping up into that elite cornerback territory.
All right. Well, I'll keep an eye out for that. You know, that's a good call. He is becoming a great corner, without a doubt. It's tough to shut down, you know, a top five wide receiver like ODB. But hey, we'll see. Now I don't know how much Trufant was on Jordan Matthews last week, but
Jordan Matthews got lit up. 13 targets for Jordan Matthews, 10 receptions. He is a volume wide receiver.
Yeah, he's going to be a good one this year, Jordan Matthews, and we'll see. I expect the Giants to bounce back, and angry Eli after the way my Giants lost to your Cowboys last week, Corey. But nice sneaky DFS play this week, I think, is Reuben Randle.
Interesting. It's not going to be Preston Parker. Too many of those clutch drops down the stretch. I think they have to go away from that young man. Two out of three, Chris. Help me set my lineup before we get ready to wrap it up and get ready to try to hit up all of these games next week. Maybe we take it a half hour longer on Wednesday night.
Sure.
Devontae Adams, Mike Wallace, Danny Woodhead. I need two out of those three.
Ooh, that's a good one, Corey. I really like Mike Wallace going into this week versus that Lions secondary. I lock him in. And believe it or not, I think Devontae Adams is in for a rough week, especially if he gets locked up on Sherman a lot on the other side. So I'd go Danny Woodhead.
I think I agree with you. And I also have Cole Beasley on the team, too, but, you know.
Oh, I love Beasley. Yeah, I love Beasley. That's tough. I think in that type of game, a high-scoring shootout, I expect your Cowboys to be playing from behind. Beasley could wind up with 7-8 catches this week. I really like him this week. I don't know about over those other guys, though.
Yeah, Danny Woodhead has that touchdown upside that we talked about earlier.
Yeah. Yes, he does. And after Melvin Gordon fumbled last week, you got to expect the coaches to have less confidence in the rookie.
Especially in those red zone situations. All right, we get ready for week two. Be back on our regular time next week on Wednesday night as we get ready for week three. For NFFC Hall of Famer Chris McCarroll, I'm the fantasy executive Corey Parson. We'll holler at you next week on the Takeover.